so really the title, if there is a title to my message today, it's about how to move in the power of God and how to get answers to prayer for all sorts of different situations. And I suppose the context is really the promises of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus, those four areas. And so really I want to talk, and this comes out of a dialogue that I've been having with the Lord, because I've tended to concentrate on the Word of God and the promises of God to get to encourage people to get answers in prayer for their own lives. But I really felt a kind of the Lord trying to sort of, when you're having a conversation with God and you kind of, he's saying something that you need to just kind of readjust your thinking. And that's been how it's been. And when I was sort of seeking the Lord for the message today, I felt the Lord say, well, look, I want you to just, leave that aside, but more kind of incorporate what I want you to say in relation to the Holy Spirit. I was writing down when I have experienced the most, the greatest presence, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. Certainly the day that I gave back my life to the Lord, I experienced just rivers of living water and of love and of joy and of peace and life. You know, when Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life all in all its abundance. And that was certainly then. And then at other times, I remember sitting under a ministry where a pastor called Willie Davidson began to minister on being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And as he went on, and as he kind of started to move into areas of our lives, I'm talking about the congregation then, where God wanted to cleanse us, I began to experience that amazing, fresh, beautiful, amazing love, but also cleanness and dynamic, living water of God. And then at other times, particularly when I've been ministering to others and something has happened where God has moved in a particular way, I don't know about being filled with the Holy Spirit at the beginning, but after, filled with the Holy Spirit, so, I'm just up all night or just walking around, just being filled with God. Acts 10:38, this is one of my favorite verses, and you probably know it, how that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So, this is Jesus' ministry. This is what the Father sent the Son into the earth to do, to make a difference in other people's lives. And the question is, very often, when we pray, and when we, Phil asked everyone to pray, so I said to Melody, This is sort of the other way around. but it's great. But my message is really how you can release the power of God, how you can move in the anointing of God. And I believe that that is just as important as receiving for yourself. And so I just want to sort of move into that area and see if I can unlock by God's grace some things in you where you can sort of see that you are able to minister in the power of the Holy Ghost and with surety that God is going to move. Okay, because sometimes when we pray for others, you know, I know how it is. You lay your hands on somebody and you say, Lord, but inside there's a different dialogue. Oh God, I hope something happens, you know. Do you understand what I mean? So obviously we want to move in relation to, and I'm not, you know, who am I? But God has given me this message and I'm going to preach it. So in Luke, and I'd like, if you put Luke chapter 4, 18, 19, you'll probably have to skip one, Sam. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he's in the temple and where he quotes Isaiah 61. And he stands up and he begins to read from the scripture. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord, this is in the Gospel of Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And from that declaration, if you like, he declared that the Spirit of God was upon him. And if you remember, we go back to his baptism, where John the Baptist, he submitted to the baptism of John, and the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended as of a dove and alighted and remained upon him. Then he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And then it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And from there, I think the Gospel of Luke is a wonderful, wonderful book, because right from that very moment, Luke begins to unfold the works of Jesus Christ. And so what the people say in Luke 4:32 is that they were astonished, if you could pop that up, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So the difference between Jesus and all the other people that they'd had to listen to, you know, week after week, was that this man not only spoke, but demonstrated with power that what he said had a reality that went far beyond anything that they had encountered before. And they were astonished. Well, I don't know, when's the last time you were astonished? Exactly. All those years ago, this morning. Amen. Yeah. And I said to my beautiful wife, I said, when she came in, as I left before she sort of got ready for church, I said, that's a new dress, isn't it? And she's looking really pretty. And what are you laughing for? I wasn't astonished. I was just, but I wasn't, but they were astonished. Now, if you're astonished, what are you, Elvis? If you're astonished at something, and then you're speechless, you're amazed, you're completely bowled over. You know, they're meeting something that they've never encountered before. And this something is not, you know, your ordinary run-of-the-mill. This is what on earth is going on. They were astonished at his doctrine, so what he spoke, for his word was with power. And we know that the word was with power because the Holy Ghost was upon him. When I was preparing for this, a little song came to me, which I'm going to get you to sing now. Oh. Okay, are you ready? It's an old one, so my wife's not here, so I'll get away with it. Oh, he's all over me, and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, he's all over me, and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Now, you can just get up, okay? And you can start to tell your body that Jesus is on you, in you, around you, for you. Are you ready? Come on. I'm sorry if you thought it was all over and you could just sit back. Okay, a little bit of dancing here. You know, some moves, please, from our brothers and sisters all over. Okay, ready? Are you ready? Oh, he's all over me, and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, yes, all over me, and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and he's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Amen. Amen. So they were astonished at his doctrine, and they were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke the word with power. And then you get, I mean, that particular thing was the unclean devil in the synagogue. Nobody said to this man, you have an unclean spirit. So how did this come about? It was because the Holy Spirit was there. And because the presence of God was there. And then we've got Jesus rebuking the fever. You know, this suddenly starts happening after Jesus stands up in the synagogue and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is like the outworking of all of the aspects that we see. Then he laid his hands on them. This is going through. I was just reading through Luke last night. He laid his hands on them and healed them. Then we get the draught of fish, you know, where they've worked all night and caught nothing. And suddenly Jesus speaks. And they catch so many fish that there's not enough, you know, the boats start to sink and so on. The man with leprosy gets cleansed. And Jesus said, well, go away and don't tell, go to the priests and show yourself to the priest, but don't tell anyone. But rather than that, he goes and publishes it everywhere, as you might do. Then multitudes, you know, this word gets around, multitudes come to hear and be healed. Then there's the man who's sick of the palsy, the one that's lowered down through. They have to tear the roof apart, don't they? Lowered down through the roof, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. The Pharisees take offense, and then Jesus says, that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sin, I say unto you, take up your bed and rise. You know, he had absolute confidence that what he said was going to come to pass. So I just want you to hold that in your understanding. Those vexed with unclean spirits. And this is the thing. It says, for there went virtue out of him. And healed them all. Virtue is power. Virtue is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Virtue is is what Jesus received when he was baptized and confirmed through his temptation in the wilderness, and then when he stood up, the Spirit of the Lord, he'd returned in power. So Jesus began to minister to people, and virtue went out from him and healed them all. Keep that up there. So then we have the centurion. If we could go to the centurion. This is just a list of the miracles that we see in the book of Luke. There are other miracles in other books. The centurion said, "Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." Now, Jesus spoke, but his word was not just a word, was it? It was a word with power. And we know that that power that he had was the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, as well as we can say, as well as we can say. We don't want to leave Jesus' divine sonship, you know, but nevertheless, the focus is on the power. The widow of Nain, you remember that bier that was, that funeral bier that was in the street, a procession in the city of Nain, and Jesus just walked up and stopped it. This was a woman who was a widow, and her only son had died, and Jesus walks up and raises. Can you imagine that? You know, there's a funeral coming down here, and somebody walks up, knocks on the door of the window and says, "Could you roll your window down for a minute?" You know, and open up the coffin. Well, maybe in those days, I'm not sure how. Sometimes in those days it was like open, but and then, you know, what would happen in Margate? Can you imagine what would happen in Margate? The Thanet Times would have emblazoned across, you know, boy raised from the dead. You know, so we can see what happened in those days. And then he traveled around, you know, his fame spread, and it says he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And this is great, isn't it? And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. This is Jesus Christ's ministry on the earth. This is his ministry on the earth. Unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then we've got the alabaster box, which was great when John Andrews, there you are. Yeah. And the parables rebuked the storm. And then we've got, if you could come on to, there you are, Legion. Yes, Legion healed and delivered, moving in the authority and power, not just of a word, but the word with power, speaking deliverance and healing, laying hands on the sick. Sometimes all sorts of different, we're not sort of just one method. And then the woman with the issue of blood, as he's going actually towards Jairus' daughter, and on his way, this woman who's had an issue of blood for 12 years presses in and says within her heart, "If I can just touch him." And then Jesus perceives that power has gone out of him. What power? The same power that it says, and virtue went out for him. So the power resident within Jesus proceeded out. And amazingly, I mean, it's one of those strange accounts, isn't it? Because you think that Jesus would know exactly who it was, but he said, "Who touched me?" So he's going. So it's almost as if God has set this power of the Holy Spirit that. It almost says the Holy Spirit, who we know is the third person of the Trinity and is a person, is doing something that then Jesus catches up with. So we have the Holy Spirit moving, this divine person, this third person of the Trinity, fully resident in the Son, fully able to meet the needs of the world. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. And then Jesus begins to sort of to give this kind of issue that actually this power is not going to be just reserved for him. So he's giving issue that actually the disciples are given power over all diseases and to cure diseases. Actually, all evil spirits and to cure diseases. So he's giving issue that actually this power, this that people have seen, you know, they were astonished. Well, now the disciples are sent out. First of all, 12, and later 70. You know, so there's not kind of, well, just you 12 disciples. We just have you. But 70, which represents actually number, 70 is the number of the church. So there's kind of presaging, foreshadowing, if you like, that actually there's something more going on here that God wants to say to people in the gospel. That actually, you know, this power is not us for and no more, you know, just for me. But actually it's something that God wants to make available to the world. And he spoke to them of the kingdom of God and healed all them that had need of healing. And the interesting thing is, Luke begins with these words somewhere. It says, of all that Jesus began to teach and do. So in other words, when Jesus began to give instruction, he also backed it up by the power of God. So the doctrine, you know, the word of God was there and the power of God was there. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, give them to eat. Amazing things we see, don't we, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, you know, began to be transfigured before him so that his clothing became whiter than any fuller can, I don't know what, we use bold. But any kind of fuller can, as they say, any kind of, you can't get it whiter than white, but this was whiter than white. And then, of course, at the end, Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus only is there, and a voice comes from heaven and says, "Hear, this is my beloved son, hear ye him." Speaking, you know, the fact that Jesus has the words of life. The epileptic healed. I say epileptic, it doesn't actually say epileptic, but, you know, that's just my interpretation. Then the 70 returned with joy. The devils are subject unto us through thy name. This authority that we saw in beginning in the synagogue with the man with the unclean spirit. And then he says, if I with the finger of God do cast... This is Jesus speaking. If I, with the finger of God, do cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And in another gospel, it says, if I, by the Spirit of God, do cast out devils. So we understand here that the Spirit of God is moving in this way. And in fact, later on, it says, an innumerable multitude healed. And we get both individual accounts, don't we? And we get accounts that just amazing numbers of people were healed. You know, I think it was John says, you know, if you wanted actually to make a detailed account of everything that Jesus did, the whole world would not be there would be not enough books in the whole world. You know, it would just kind of fill the whole world. So Jesus' ministry was much more than we see. And then we ask ourselves, you know, what is all this about? And John determines it. If you read John, at the end of John, it says, and it's only talking about the 7 miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of John, but it says, and these are written, and many signs and many other signs did Jesus do, but these are written that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Okay, so there's this rationale behind all that Jesus did was to promote the salvation of humankind and to give a lost and dying world, life itself. And we see, you know, amazing things happen. And so on and so on. It goes on and on. The 10 lepers healed. The blind man received his sight. Even when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and the high priest's servant's ear is struck off, Jesus touches the ear and it's healed. Okay, so I've said this really to say, one, if we could go right back to the beginning there, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and actually Luke 24:29, Luke, at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, after he's risen from the dead, after he's gone through the passion, and after he's paid the price for sin, he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, this is the relevance for us as believers and the key, or one of the keys, to moving in the power of God and seeing God move through your life. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't set one up to experience aspects of his grace and mercy and not give to others. So he wants us all, I believe, all to have confidence in being able to minister to others. And in Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Well, a witness is an evidence producer. A witness is somebody who, when they pray, things happen. A witness is, it's not just a matter of opening your mouth, you know, because, you know, the kingdom of God is not in word only. The Bible says it's in demonstration and in power. So, you know, where do we account ourselves as individuals and people before God? We account ourselves that actually God wants to move in us. And so Acts 2:39 says, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, and this promise is to you. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is to you and as many as the Lord shall call. There we have it again. No distinction. No, just for you and not for you. As many as the Lord said. So if you have felt the call of God, this is for you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the disciples in the early church began to operate this. And really the book of Acts is the continuation of the book of Luke, isn't it? And the early church began, and Jesus hasn't changed, but he wants to manifest his glory, the glory of God, the salvation of God, the power of God through his church. And we see that. And the question is, we've got to ask ourselves, you know, has God changed? Has Jesus changed? Has his plan and purpose changed? Or is it that God actually wants us to, with confidence, to be able to also minister in the power of the Holy Ghost? Now, when we ask God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, when we ask God to move in our lives, you know, it's that baptism in the Holy Spirit has all the potential to produce the same results as Jesus upon the earth. This is truly what I believe and have seen with my own eyes. But the point is, there are certain things that you need to understand in order to put the on button on, if you understand. You know, to start the motorized saw, if you like, to get it to going, rather than trying to use the saw manually. It's not going to work, is it? There's power. So what is the power? I believe the first thing is the name of Jesus. And if we understand the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is everything that Jesus was upon the earth, God has delegated in his name to his church. If you look at Acts, let's just look at Acts. After the lame man was healed, Peter and John went to pray. I think it's Acts chapter 4. Peter and John went to pray, and what did it say? Or is it 3 rather? Yeah. Who's seeing Peter and John? This is the man he was asking for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something on them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So these were people who were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they used the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus was everything. Now, when my mother was alive, she gave me power of attorney. So I basically could do things in her name. I could do things for her estate. And so that's really what Jesus has done for us. In giving us the name of Jesus, he's given us right to use his name. Okay? And this is really one of the great keys. This is the power button. Because if you recognize, and verse 16, it says, and his name, this is Acts chapter 3, verse 16, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So when you're praying with somebody, if you realize that when you use the name of Jesus, you are using it in the authority, in a delegated authority, and you have exactly the same authority as if Jesus was standing in the room and doing the prayer himself. So we have two elements here, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit. You know, what does it say? Be being filled in the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's not that we have the Spirit, of ourselves, but we receive this power. The power is of God. But nevertheless, if we take time and speak in tongues and praise God and ask to be filled with power, this power, and if you want to target it for healing power, target it for deliverance power, target it for whatever area you want God, whatever area you feel God wants you to minister in, then get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the differences in operations, differences in ministry, but nevertheless, being filled with the Spirit is our responsibility, isn't it? In the quiet times, getting filled, being filled, continually filled, and then understanding the name of Jesus. Okay, and so we have the Word also. So we have the Spirit, the name, and the Word. Because the Word of God, right through the book of Acts, multiplies. You see it. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And the Word of God grew and multiplied, meaning more and more people came to know Jesus. And Jesus operates on the basis of his Word. Why does he operate on the basis of Word? Because he is the mediator of the new covenant. And it's a covenantal, it's a legal agreement, a binding agreement. The death of the testator, the death of Jesus, has given us God's word. And we know we have, what does it say in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, whereby has his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And then verse 4 goes on, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Yeah. So these promises are there not to be framed on a wall, you know, in your bedroom, but actually to be put in your heart and to be acted on, you know. And the promises come legion. There's a promise in the first name when the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's a promise in there, isn't there? Because in the root of the name of Jehovah is the root of I swear. I covenant that this is true. So when we start to operate in the Word and we start to build our faith up in the Word. Lastly, I haven't said everything I want to say, but lastly, the blood of Jesus, okay, because it's all on the basis of the blood. If you take these things, if you take the power of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, the promises of God, we know that this power, what does Ephesians say? I pray that God would, Paul prays for the Ephesians, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's all in Jesus, that you might know the hope of your calling and what is the exceeding great and greatness of his power to us who believe, which is like the working of his mighty power when he raised Jesus from the dead. So this power that you are ministering to others, this power is not a nice feeling. It's not a tingle down the spine. It's not a bless him and make him feel good. This power is the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it just seems to me that as Christians, we need to wake up and stand up and realize that God has given us a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we can have confidence, you know, that when we pray for people, that something amazing is going to happen, because the power that is within you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The name, you've been given this name which has been delegated to you as a power of attorney. So you have the right, absolute right and authority to use that name. That's why we have authority over demonic forces as well, because Jesus has delegated. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means. We've got to believe his word, haven't we? If we start to believe his word, we're going to see things happening. You know, so it's a kind of wake up. This is what I felt the Lord say. You know, word, fine, but spirit. Jonathan, spirit of God. You need to operate in the anointing. You need to operate in the anointing, and then, you know, don't leave those things behind that you once knew. Amen. Right, I'd like you to confess with me. Okay. I've got him in my feet. I've got him on my head. I've got him in my heart. I've got him in my bones. I feel him all over me. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Come now and fill me and endue me with power from on high, that I might work the works of God. Amen. Would you like to stand just briefly? Okay, now I want you to think of your own life. The Bible says the laborer must first be partaker of the harvest. In other words, that power that God wants you to use for others, you are the practice. You are the practice. You are the practice field, if you like. You know how, if you want to be good at something, you practice, don't you? So I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to put your hand on your head, or your hand on your tummy, or your hand, not where you're sick, we're not talking about, but you're going to release the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to release the power of God. The laborer, you're going to labor. You're going to do the works of Jesus Christ. But the laborer must first be partaker of the harvest. So God is going to touch your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
With your own hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
To demonstrate the fact that he has anointed you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, I pray now, Lord, as we are here with our hands on our own lives, Lord, just move by your Holy Spirit. and let the anointing come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let the revelation of the authority of the name of Jesus come. Let the unlocking of your mighty word, of the promises, come in Jesus' name, through the blood of Jesus Christ, your only Son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, just I want you, in your own heart, say, I loose, just in your heart, say, I loose that anointing that you've placed within me. I loose it to myself, and I loose it to the world. Because of your great love. Amen. God bless you.